Good morning.
Good morning.
The scripture today is from Acts 2, 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is a reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, we pray that your Holy Spirit will strengthen us to be devoted to the teachings of your word, that through it we may hear your voice and follow it into eternal life. Amen. So our scripture for today, Acts 2, 42 to 47, is talking about how the first Christian community was organized. This was shortly after Jesus' death and resurrection. So I know we don't like a lot of change. And I know that we all want to adhere to the instructions that are in the Bible. So I was pretty taken aback when I read this passage, as I'm sure all of you are too. This isn't how we operate at Glenshaw Valley. How can we possibly say that we are Christians when we have strayed so far away from what the first church looked like? So we're going to write this church. We're going to go back to biblical basics. And that means from now on, we will have, and I expect you all to attend, worship, study, and prayer every day of the week. I know this will be difficult for a lot of you because of travel times and such, so in order to make this Christian obligation easier for you, we'll be renovating McFadden Hall into dormitories. It might be a little uncomfortable for a while until we get all of the bunk beds in and made and the showers installed, but you know, as long as we all work together, we'll have everything finished before you know it. And you know, since you'll all be living here, you won't need your homes or your cars or any of your other personal possessions. So you're going to need to sell everything that you own privately. We can have a big parking lot sale, so it's not really a huge burden on any one person. And don't worry, all of the proceeds will go towards taking care of one another. You know, your food, clothing, utilities, everything you need will be right here. Just think of how convenient all of this is going to be. Now, I'm not great at signs and wonders yet. But I expect once we start getting back to the basics of biblical Christianity, it'll come. And then once we start living like the Christians in Acts 2, I fully trust God will add to the members of our community daily. Now, I don't expect anyone has objections to this, but we are a Presbyterian congregation who does things in, decently and in order. So is there a motion to accept this proposal? Are there objections? Is there anyone who has an objection, raise your hand. I thought you were real Christians. Well, okay, so what are some of your objections? Arlie, what? Oh, yeah, Peggy, go ahead.
It sounds like a military barracks. I've already done that.
It sounds like a military base. Yeah, you know, living with other people.
Sharing
shower. And friends, I think you know that I love you all very, very much. However, I do not want to live with any of you, let alone all of you. I very much like living with two cats and zero people. Any other objections? Arlie, did you have, was there an
We don't have time.
Do you have specific objections?
Helping everybody sounds great, but the rest of it sounds a little awkward.
Okay.
And I'm saying that as nicely as
I have a question.
Yeah.
Bring my pit bull.
Oh!
Can you what?
Can I bring my pit bull with me?
Absolutely.
Well, then I'm all in.
Okay. I'm good. Yeah. Sure. Well, I mean, they would have to convert, right? But your pit bull isn't Catholic, though, right?
Well, yes, she is.
Oh. Well, then, that's one of those dangerous pit bulls. Yeah, I would think that one of your other objections might be, like, worshiping every single day? That sounds like a lot. And I have to say that sometimes I wonder, like, how I even manage to get a whole worship planned once a week. I don't know if I'd be able to do it every single day. You know, if I add in leading several prayer services and study lessons, and yikes, that's a lot of work. Although I guess you'll all be there to help me out, so you won't have anything else to do. One of the things that I saw in this, and that I was sure that somebody would bring up, was that this sounds an awful lot like socialism. And, yeah, it kind of is. You know, as someone who was raised as an only child, sharing is not my strong suit. I don't mind helping out other people when I can, but I'm used to having my own things. Although I won't say that it wouldn't be nice to use other people's things when I want to. But overall, isn't this a cult? It seems a little bit like a cult, doesn't it? But it's in the Bible. How could it possibly be a cult? So some of you know that my secular grad degree is in sociology of religion. And one of the things that I studied, I just happened to study, was cults. In academia, we call them new religious movements, because the term cult has an automatically negative connotation. But a cult is basically, a cult is a small religious group that isn't part of a larger, more accepted religion. It has beliefs that many people deem extreme or dangerous. It's usually held together by a shared commitment to a charismatic ideology or leader. And it's thought to have the answers to all of life's questions and solutions to all of life's problems. And if we're using that definition of cult, the first church we read about in Acts is a cult. The Christian church at this time is literally a new religious movement. And the only reason we don't think about it as being a cult is because it's been around for 2,000 years. Christianity has become mainstream. And that, and you know, the church is constantly evolving. So that's why when we read something in the Bible, just because there's a description of something, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a prescription. We have to be careful about the way that we handle narratives in the Bible. Just because someone did something at a particular point and place and time doesn't mean that we have to follow suit for the rest of eternity. Thankfully, we do not have to be together 24/7 to receive salvation. Even within the book of Acts, we see the church evolving. We read about believers living in their own homes, and Paul telling people to eat meals before coming to church for the Lord's Supper. We know from church history that the church has many, many, many iterations. A tiny tweak here, a minor modification here, an argument resolved there. However, this passage does give us information about the necessary things to create a Christian community. Teaching the word, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayer. There will be new ways of experiencing and practicing these things, but as long as Jesus is at the center of it all, we're doing church correctly. Some people say that the main character in the book of Acts is Peter, because, you know, there's all this fantastic preaching in there from Peter. And other people say that it's Paul, because of all of his missionary work. I've even heard that the church itself is the main character in Acts because of the radical expansion that she takes. And I agree that those are important characters in the book of Acts, but I think that the main character, the overwhelming, most important aspect of the book of Acts is the Holy Spirit. The way that the Holy Spirit sweeps through our lives, whether we want it to or not. The way she moves through our churches, even when we can't see a way that things can be made new. From the moment the Holy Spirit was poured out in the book of Acts to today and beyond, the church has been and always will be Spirit-filled. And that's what makes the good news. The good news here is that it isn't up to us. That's one of the things that makes being a minister of word and sacrament like it's a burden. It's a hard call to live up to, but once I realized that it's not up to me. It's not up to you. We don't need to be perfect for God to work in this church. We don't need to have all of our stuff together before the Holy Spirit starts to move in our midst. The church is God's beloved, and God is not done working with her, either in the church's structures or institutions or even in the individuals that make up the body of Christ. That's each one of you. That's me. The Spirit is always at work, so we don't need to become a cult. The church that we read about here represents the people's discernment in their response to the Holy Spirit. Glenshaw Valley is a spirit-led community, and we are also called to this task of discernment. It is my fervent prayer, however, that the Spirit isn't calling us to create dorms in McFadden. Thanks be to God. Amen.